Say my name, say my name. No one is around you. Say, baby, I love you. If you ain't running games, say my name, say my name. You acting kinda shady. Ain't calling me baby. Why the sudden change? Say my name, say my name. If no one is around.
Yes, it's become a Tuesday staple. Destiny's Child, Andrew Destin of the Post Gazette. There he is, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed on your screen if you're watching on 93.7thefan.com. Hopefully you have the Odyssey app. Paul and I were just shopping for golf shirts.
There's Are you like going to go with a golf shirt or the long? I might go with the long sleeve. The long sleeve t-shirt, the Nike long sleeve.
It's pretty nice. It's I didn't know this was just, it's like a like an in-house one-stop shopping center. Is that what's happening
here?
Maybe we can get Destiny's Child a present, Paul. Would you wear a golf shirt from the fan if we got you one, Destiny's Child?
I'm not going to say no to any golf shirts. I'm still pretty novice to the sport. So right now my two golf shirts have Penn State logos on them. So I'm probably in need of some assistance with the wardrobe there.
Do you play golf?
I'm getting into it. I totally have a baseball player's swing. I slice everything, but I'm trying to get into it and just got my first real set of clubs.
So awesome. Let's play.
Kudos to my dad on that one.
Let's play.
Yeah, we'll make it happen.
Paul will have us out at Cedarbrook, won't you, Paul?
Absolutely. And we'll do that. We will do that. We do the Zeiss.com tour. It's back up and running.
Yeah, we'll
and
get out there.
You can come play with us, and we'll have a good time for sure. We played the other day, Joe, by the way, and Paul Alexander absolutely destroyed the course.
Yeah, he's good.
So I'm going to need more strokes, I think, in our little competitions.
I think Destiny's Child is going to be very good. You know what's not good, though, is the Pirates right now. They're just sort of, you know, win one, lose two, win two, lose one, win, you know, that. And I think, and Paul and I agreed on this at the top of the show, that the season feels like it's at a crossroads, Andrew. It's going to go one way or another here. And if Ben Cherington doesn't make a move or two to juice things up, I fear it's going to go the wrong way. Do you feel like this season has reached a crossroads?
Absolutely. And it's not just, to your point, Joe, I think it's a very good one to bring up, Ben Cherington making a move or two, but I think it goes a little bit deeper than that as well. I think it also deals with the innings that they're, you know, three of the four most used starters this year, how they're kind of reaching these career highs for total innings pitched, whether that's in the minor leagues, whether that's in the MLB combined with the minors. I think the reality right now is that the pitching has been so good to carry them those first 3 months of the season, roughly, dating back to the end of March. And I'm not saying that by any means that it's showing signs of slowing down or cracks, but the reality is that Jared Jones and Paul Skenes, you probably don't want either of those guys to go much past 130 innings, 140 innings. And Bailey Falter, after the start last night here in Cincinnati, where he came within an inning, I think it was, or four outs total of his new career high for innings in an MLB season, commented that he was exhausted. And that's why the fastball command escaped him. It was the fourth inning. And, you know, it was a muggy afternoon or muggy evening here in Cincinnati, temps in the mid-80s. But it's worth noting that monitoring his innings is going to be important. And as good as he's been, in June, he's shown signs of tapering off. So not only is the team in need of some retooling on the offensive side, but they really could use Martin Perez to come back as soon as this coming weekend and the impending arrivals of a Marco Gonzalez, as well as some bullpen help, would be sorely needed for this club right now. Hanged up and they're reeling.
Well, here's what I'm going to tell you. When you look at this pitching, as good as they've been in starting pitching, they're still four games under 500. And my question to you, is it likely that they're going to be this good for the second half of the season? Because if they're not, God knows where they're headed.
Yeah, I do not think they will be as good in the second half. And that's no slight on any individual person, but Bailey Falter the first 2 months of the year was, you know, those were some career month where that was as good as he's pitched in his MLB 10. I have to imagine eventually get after him, and that's no slight against him. He's just been so great. Mitch Keller had a great May and a great start to June after, you know, a trying little bit of April. I imagine he'll probably have a little bit of a bounce back month, but on the whole be a good pitcher. And Jared Jones, we've seen signs of regression from him even in June. Save that start against the Rays where he started to figure out a little bit. So as good as the starting pitching has been, they really do need those reinforcements. And I think it is such a burden to place on those guys when your bullpen is struggling as much as the Pirates are, especially in that middle relief spot. And now with David Bednar going to the injured list where everybody kind of gets pushed back a spot, it's such an ask on the starting rotation. And it's kind of like a you can't have your cake and eat it too almost, in the sense that you want to manage your starters' innings, especially these young guys, but you also need them to go deep in games, because if they don't, then you're not really giving yourself a chance to win in those games. So these are very difficult decisions, very difficult things, but the genesis of that is just the starting pitching I don't imagine to be as good in the second half as we've seen it here early on.
Well, to play devil's advocate, what about Gonzalez and Perez? Because Gonzalez was off to a great start. They brought in both those guys to be part of their rotation. When are they going to pitch? When is Gonzalez ready? When is Perez ready? When is Priester ready? Because the way I see it, Destiny's Child, two of those guys could be in your rotation, at least one, and the other guys could help with middle and long relief.
Yes, absolutely, which is why those guys, coming back to your earlier point about this being, you know, a crux or a tipping point in the season, those guys need to come back, and you need to figure out what you have in them, because if they don't pitch up to their expectations or exceed expectations, then it really becomes troublesome. That being said, I think that we see Perez make a start this weekend in Atlanta. He joined the club here in Cincinnati, by all indications. The rehab start on Saturday in Indianapolis went really well. I don't think we'll see him pitch on that Wednesday day game against the Reds, just because it is a day game. It's only 4 days rest, I believe that would be, in between the rehab start and this one. He's supposed to throw a bullpen today in Cincinnati, so I don't see Perez starting here against the Reds, but I do see him against the Braves. With Gonzalez and with Priester, I don't imagine that'll be any time until maybe after the All-Star break.
Oh, wow.
With Gonzalez, I think Gonzalez still needs to get ramped up a little bit. I know he threw a bullpen in Altoona, or he's supposed to throw one today. Correct me if I'm wrong there. I might need to check my notes. But either way, he still needs to make a few rehab starts, and it's June 25th, so maybe you get him back before the All-Star break, but it would be for one start at most. Priester has thrown in Indianapolis. He's slowly building himself back up, but I imagine he'll need to make a rehab start, probably just one. I don't think it'll need to be two, since he's been out about 3 weeks, but either way, Priester's probably closer to coming back than Gonzalez. Gonzalez, I don't think you see before the All-Star break. Priester, I would say maybe more likely than not likely.
Well, we get all those guys back. Some of them, Joe and I were talking, you get a few of those guys back. I mean, can't we get rid of some of these nameless, faceless, gray relievers, as Bob Pompeiani described, like some of the guys we saw last night and got into the game? I mean, could Perez and Priester maybe go into the bullpen and maybe be better options than what we have had to watch the last few weeks?
Yes, definitely in the case of Priester. With Perez, I don't think so, because I think with Perez, I'll put it this way. They signed both Martin Perez and Marco Gonzalez starting pitchers. These guys are veterans. They've earned that designation, and I think that's what they're expecting when they come back to the starting rotation, is to get a start every fifth day or every sixth day, or whatever it ends up being.
Destiny's Child, you're going in and out. Is that a problem with
World Series run? No, he was real.
Is that a problem with Destiny's with Destiny
He's
Child's
frozen.
Stuff, or is it our problem?
Yeah, I think it's his.
What's happening here? City limits.
It's his Wi-Fi. I think
it's the Wi-Fi.
Did your Wi-Fi have a hiccup there, Andrew? Destiny.
Yeah, it must have. It's the issue here at this hotel in Kentucky. That's what I get for not staying in Ohio, I guess.
Oh, are you staying right across the bridge in Kentucky?
Yep, you know it.
I love that place. I stayed there once. It's where I had a run-in with Marlon Byrd, I might add, during that series. But that's beside the point, Destiny's Child. Where do we go? Oh, your friend, the Noah Constrictor, Noah Hiles, says that an MLB executive told him that Sawinski and Pagero for, who was it, from the A's, Blade? Do you think that could happen? And if not, give us some names of people that we should be on the watch for as the deadline approaches.
Yeah, first, I guess, just for clarification reasons there, that's not a report that either Noah at the Post-Gazette are reporting that's, you know, a potential trade that's been presented. That's more the hypothetical value of what it would take to get a person
Oh, like I thought he said a major league executive told him that would make sense. So it's not a report that it could happen, but it would be something that would make sense. Is that the best way to phrase
Correct.
It? Okay.
Best way to phrase something of that report in the sense of this is an imminent trade or this is something that either side has talked more. This is the hypothetical value of what it would take to get a player like J.J. Bleday, who has that kind of club control. And with a side note there with the A's, I mean, it's a difficult spot for them just given where that franchise is, that they don't have a ton of leverage in any trade. And you can look back at the Sean Murphy deals, the Matt Olson deals, that these are guys that they didn't recoup fair returns on just because the nature of where the team is at with the hypothetical move and all those things. So that's one team that I personally look at as a great spot to go to for the Pirates, not necessarily for J.J. Bleday, but I would look to them for middle relief pitching. They've got some opportunities there. T.J. McFarland and Scott Alexander are two left-handers that I think would cost very little. If anything, a low-end prospect, maybe not even a top 30 guy.
This is turning into a disaster city limits. We have to figure this out. I'm sorry, Destiny's Child. We'll call you back.
I think what we're going to have to do is
we're going to have to go phone only.
We'll have to go phone only with Destiny's Child. That's what we're going to have to do.
Say goodbye to Destiny's Child on your screen, everybody. There he goes, Paul. How about Josh Bell? What about Josh Bell? Would you be interested?
Yeah. I was just saying, this is what I just saw here. Proposed move. This is from The Athletic. Ashcroft, Mitch Jebb, and Jack Branningham to the Marlins for Josh Bell and Brian De La Cruz.
Well, Josh Bell is interesting. I mean, he actually had a pretty good year last year. In Miami, at least, he hit well. This year, not so much. He's the way he was here, where it feels like feast or famine with Josh. You know what I mean?
Right.
However, ask Destiny's Child about that.
However,
De La Cruz is
pretty good, but compare Josh Bell at 246, 309, 381 with 690 OPS and 8 home runs to Rowdy Towdy to Les, and it's definitely an upgrade.
I don't necessarily agree, because Rowdy Tellez is having a hell of a month. Let's ask Destiny's Child about that. What was the deal, Paul?
Ashcroft, Jeb, and Branningham to the Marlins for Josh Bell and Brian De La Cruz.
Would you be on board for that?
I would personally not. The issue I take there is Braxton Ashcroft, because he's been the top performer in the minor leagues this year, in my opinion, for the Pirates. And the issue is with the injury history that he has, that whatever trade you're going to include him in my opinion at least, I don't think you're going to be able to get fair value, and you're going to need to compound him with other prospects, like you mentioned there, with a Mitch Jebb and a Jack Brannigan. At that point, that's too much for two guys that Josh Bell feels a little redundant at this point. It's a very different conversation if we're talking in mid-May and Rowdy Tellez was really scuffling and the biggest area of need is that spot. Brian De La Cruz, I don't have a problem with per se, but I don't know if that trade makes you that much better in the interim that it can push you to the playoffs without that really messing up with your future. Because I think Braxton Ashcroft, frankly, is a guy that could help this team this year. I think he's a guy who could be up in the big leagues as soon as August. And that's not because I've heard anything.
As what?
As a reliever. I think he's a guy who could be a high-end leverage reliever for these guys if the Pirates were to choose to go that way. Now, I'm not insinuating that that's something that's nearing or happening tomorrow or anything like that, but he has pitched so well in Double-A. Now he's in Triple-A. And the reality is, coming off some serious injuries, that they're managing his innings a little bit. I imagine they'll try to dial him back down a little bit, but in that case, you could theoretically bring him up to the big leagues and make him a high-leverage reliever, whether that's a sixth or a seventh-inning guy, let him throw in the high 90s and work out of the bullpen that way. It's something that he had experienced with as recent as last season, where he was pitching only 3 innings a start, 4 innings a start, and kind of maxing it out with the velocity and the stuff and all those sorts of things. So I personally would not give up Ashcroft. He's a guy that I'm really high on in the prospect pool.
I mean, this is where I always run into trouble when I have these discussions with people, because I don't give a rat's ass about who's in the minor leagues at all. Who can make this team better is what I'm talking
about.
But
what are you getting there? That's my question. De La Cruz, he's 27. He hasn't had a really good big league season, and now he's going to be under Andy Haynes' care, which means he'll be in Double A by the end of the year.
What are we talking about this team needs?
Hitters. Good hitters.
Just a few better hitters.
Good hitters.
Just to be able to score three or four runs.
I'm not sure that Bell and De La Cruz are huge upgrades.
De La Cruz isn't a huge upgrade over Jack Sawinski?
You're a huge upgrade over Jack Sawinski, but that doesn't mean I'm willing to give up one of my best pitching prospects to get a mediocre player.
Again, you know, we go back to small sample sizes. Josh Bell is a upgrade over Rowdy Tellez.
I don't necessarily agree with that. Do you, Destiny's Child?
I do not. I mean, I think right now the way that Rowdy Tellez is hitting, I would much rather.
He's one for his last 13, Andrew. One for his last 13. Right now, how is he hitting? I love everyone that wants small sample size. I'm tired
of small sample size. That's the smallest sample size imaginable.
You know what, Rowdy Tellez is hitting? I'll tell you what Rowdy Tellez is hitting. Forget about what he's hitting the last week, the last 2 weeks, the last 3 weeks. What is he hitting? As Bill Parcells always says, you are what your record says you are.
And Josh Bell is mediocre, too.
I found your ass in the gutter with nothing. I'm leaving your ass in the gutter with nothing. Rowdy Tellez, 222, 281, 300 with a 581 OPS and two home runs. Two. Andrew, you can hit two home runs for this team.
Josh Bell has a negative 0.7 WAR.
And he has eight home runs. And he has four times as many home runs as Rowdy Tellez.
This is incredible.
He has four times as many home runs.
I'll tell you what, I've talked about them overvaluing defense, but Rowdy Tellez is a better first baseman, too.
Yes, 100%.
I don't think it's close.
Right, I remember when Neil Huntington called everybody hacks who said that Josh Bell wasn't a good first baseman.
He stinks at first base.
You're a hack.
So what else are they? What about the minors? What about Palacios and Gorski and all these guys that they're mediocre in the minors but could still be? What about Peguero? I thought Peguero was a major league player. Andrew, well, why isn't he here? We have to watch Jared Triolo? He's one of the worst hitters in all of baseball.
Yeah, it's a twofold thing there. I think with Peguero, it's that last year in that sample size that he had in the majors, it was demonstrated that as much as he could groove a fastball, as much as he has that great athletic ability, hitting off-speed pitches was something that was really problematic for him, and that's not a new thing. That was the case in the minors as well, that he would face a lot of curveballs in Double-A and Triple-A and struggle with them, but if he got enough fastballs and got in a hot streak, he'd really groove them. You know, he's had an okay season in the minors, but I think they still want to see some of that development with hitting off-speed, hitting spin.
I know, but he looks like Jose Altuve compared to Triolo.
Right, which is exactly it. It's that given that Nick Gonzalez is playing every day at second base practically, they don't want to call up a guy like Peguero and only give him 2 to 3 starts a week.
All right, well, there's another topic. There's another topic is Gonzalez, and everybody got mad at me yesterday, and I like him. But let's not ignore the fact that the month of June is turning into an epic disaster. He has 20 strikeouts and one walk. What's going on with him?
It's the league bouncing back. You look at it and say, okay, look at right now at the league. He came into it and did a fantastic job of making some adjustments in the minor leagues and coming back up. And when he got here, he was able to be right on time with the fastball with that aggressive approach. I think what teams are doing now with Nick Gonzalez is they're being a little bit playing into that. This guy wants to work early in the count. He wants to be pouncing on fastballs, and he wants to be swinging early and often. But I think teams are doing is peppering with a little bit more off speed. They're getting ahead of. They're trying to work ahead in that sense. So I think with Nick Gonzalez, as much as he burst onto the scene really well, this is just natural of teams bouncing back, responding to him, looking at the hitting charts, the spray charts, what pitches he was hitting well. And I imagine it will be a matter now with Nick Gonzalez of being able to play that cat and mouse game and bounce back after, you know, a few really, really good weeks here up in the big leagues.
How about bringing up Peguero and moving Nick Gonzalez to third and having Cabrian Hayes sit for a while?
It's not something I would consider at this point. I don't know that that's something that's imminent.
What I'm saying is, why wouldn't you consider that, considering that Cabrian Hayes has been every bit as bad as anybody else on this team?
Just the defense has still been that good. If you look at the metrics with his defensive runs saved on Fangraphs, he's still been one of the best defensive players at third base in baseball. And the hope is that with him coming off the IL a few weeks back, that eventually he can find his form here. Maybe that's a different conversation after the All-Star break, but I still think for now, also worth noting that the finance is involved here, just given the contract that Cabrian Hayes is operating on. I still think it's worth giving him that wiggle room, giving him that time to figure this out, because as much as it hasn't been a great start to the season for him offensively, it was a little bit similar last year, and then he caught fire in the second half. So I think he's warranted and earned the opportunity to play his way out of this.
All right, well, let me ask you this then, okay? I asked this to Joe earlier today, and I'm going to ask you this. You have one game to win. I'm Bob Nutting, and I've told you, you're Derek Shelton. You either win tonight or you are fired. Are you putting in Grandal or Delay?
Ooh, I'm putting in Grandal.
Okay, are you putting in Rowdy Tauty or Connor Joe?
Depends. In the outfield, I would put Connor Joe at right, but if I have to put one at first base, it's probably Tellez right now.
Here's the thing. I'll even tell you it's a righty. So you're going to put Tellez at left. That's fine. So you have Tellez at first. You have Grandal at catcher. Are you putting in Gonzalez or Triolo at second?
Gonzalez.
Okay. Cabrian Hayes or Triolo at third?
Cabrian Hayes.
Okay. And who are your three outfielders then, knowing that you have Tellez at first?
Brian Reynolds in left, Michael A. Taylor in center, Connor Joe in right.
Wow. Michael A. Taylor, I know that makes you happy.
It's either him or Sawinski.
What about Olivares?
He looks like Tony Gwynn compared to Sawinski. He's batting 20 points higher than him.
What about Olivares, who's batting 240?
Olivares' issue is the on-base percentage isn't there. The defense isn't great in right field. I'd rather have Connor Joe's bat there.
And he also hasn't homered since Malzi had hair. It's been since May 16th since Olivares has homered.
Yeah. And he had a three-hit night last night, but all three of those were ground ball singles, ground balls with eyes. So as much as I think Olivares is a fine fourth outfielder, I'd still rather have Michael A. Taylor in center, just given if somebody's batting ninth, then they're there only for their defense.
This is a disaster.
His defense is arguably the best in the big league.
But Jack Sawinski's on – I just finally looked at Jack Sawinski's on-base percentage is .258.
Yeah. Now think about Gonzalez in June is at .228.
.258.
Everywhere you look, it's everything's in flames here. City Limits asked when Malzi did have hair. When he arrived at this station, he had hair. Receding, granted, which is why he went completely bald.
14 years ago.
Destiny's Child, have you ever considered the fully bald look? Would Paul has almost pulled it off. I think Paul pulls it off nice, as a matter of fact, although he has a little bit of stubble.
Yes.
Yeah, I will be embracing the bald in the near future here. I'm sure my parents will agree with this, but the receding hairline is starting up. Got that one told by the doctor a few months ago, so eventually I'm going to have to go full bald here. But embracing the hair for the last few years, but I still have it, I think.
Did you say you went to a doctor for this?
I got my biannual physical or whatever it was, and doctor took a look at the hair, and it's like, yep, that's receding male pattern baldness. That's what that looks like. So that's kind of the direction we're heading in here.
Man, that's a shot. You're only, what, 25?
24. Turned 25 in August.
Bald. At 24, right. He's being told that he's going to be bald soon.
He's still got a long time.
I don't know about that. I think maybe a couple of years, and he'll be Malzi the second.
You get that hair-growing substance that they sell.
Yeah, you might want to get that, Andrew.
Yeah, it costs money. I don't like wasting money.
All right. How do you want to finish, Paul? How about with a little free association? May I indulge?
Yes, absolutely.
Indulge with him? Who's the next guy to get called up from the minors, Andrew?
Let's go Joshua Palacios.
Bailey Falter will be out of the rotation by the All-Star break.
No.
Hank Davis will return to this team this season at some point.
Yes.
Peguero will be involved in a trade.
No.
Skeens will be an all-star.
At this rate, yes.
Skeens will start the all-star game.
No.
Skeens will win the Cy Young Award.
No.
Mitch Keller will go to the all-star game instead of Skeens.
Yes.
Wow. You think
if
that will...
If it's only one guy, it's Keller. He's earned it being here longer. As great as Skeens has been this year, there will be plenty other opportunities for him to go to the All-Star game. I think this is Keller's if it's only one Pirate.
Holy horse milk. Do you agree with that? If you were Major League Baseball, would you want Keller instead of Skeens? I wouldn't.
That's why I'm not paid to make those decisions. I'll say that much.
But you are paid to make an opinion. What would you do?
I would personally put in both, but if you only had to choose one, I still, you know, I'm an old guard guy. Maybe that's wrong on my part, but I still think Keller has earned this. He's earned the contract he got from the Pirates. Reward him for another good season and get him to the All-Star game.
Which one of the Pirates' disastrous hitters will turn his season around? Triolo, Taylor, Sawinski, Grandal, Olivares, Hayes, or other? Henry Davis. Let's put him in there.
Hayes. Hayes will figure it out. He's just got to get the back right.
The Pirates are going to make a gigantic trade before the All-Star break in which they get rid of at least one of their top five prospects.
No.
They'll make a trade where they get rid of one of their top 10 prospects.
No, I don't see it.
Then what are we doing here, Andrew? What are we doing?
Team that, in my opinion, is not making the playoffs. That's my takeaway.
You don't think they would trade even like a top 10 prospect?
They consider it, but I don't think, to me, if we're choosing probable versus possible, I would say it's more possible than likely. I just don't see anybody that jumps off the page that they're immediately looking to part ways with. And a lot of these guys are pitchers that can help at the major league level as soon as next year or later this year. It's one thing if it's low-level guys that they don't particularly think can help in 2025 or even 2026, but most of these guys are really close.
Thank you, Andrew.
Pleasure is mine, guys. Thanks as always for having me.
All right, man. That's Andrew Destin of the Post-Gazette. Read his stuff at postgazette.com.